alongside NBA champ Richard Jefferson. That's you. And then NBA champ and finals MVP. That's definitely not you, Richard. That is Paul Pierce. Welcome, friends. Coming up, we're going to discuss Brooklyn signing Blake Griffin and whether that starts an all-out arms race at the top of the Eastern Conference. What is next for all the contenders in the East? We'll discuss that later. First, though, we are honored to be announcing the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2021, the finalists. The entire class of 2021, including those selected by the direct elect committees, will be unveiled on May 16th. So we have the finalists here. And the first finalist for the class of 2021 is the man sitting two seats over from
there.
Me.
I'm in there.
Paul, the truth.
Pierce. I'm in there.
Congratulations, Paul. We didn't tell you this was happening today. What is going through your mind here? What would it mean to you to be inducted?
I mean, to be enshrined into, you know, I don't know what to do with my hands right now. into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's the end game for all, end all, be all. And for a basketball player to have their name, even having my names in the Raptors of Boston, I thought was enough. But then to get into the Hall of Fame, if I was to get in there, that's just the end of the storybook. And it's forever. And I'm greatly honored just to be mentioned, you know, to have that opportunity.
Because, You're a finalist for the Hall of Fame.
Because when you come into the game, you work as hard as you can, and then at the end of your career, you see what the results are, and clearly I've worked hard enough to be in this position.
I'm from a person that has guarded him since my rookie year throughout his entire career. Yeah, he was a Hall of Famer years and years ago. This is, in my opinion, is just a formality, right? It's like, you know, and you can see guys nowadays that are, you're in the Hall of Fame, but it is still a formality, and just playing against him, watching him, you know, do what he did. Again, as great as he was, and, you know, I hate giving this man compliments, as great as he was in the regular season, he made his name in the postseason. And it wasn't all just championship or bust. He made his name from some of his performances in the postseason, in the Garden, and so this is well-deserved.
And the clutch play, Paul, right? I mean, the fact that when the game was on the line, you were the one everyone went to, and you could deliver.
Yeah, the thing about, and all the kids who are put in this position, you can't be afraid of the moment. You can't be afraid to fail. You know what? Times because I've missed more game winners than I've made, but there was times when I missed, and the thing I would tell my teammates, I'll make the next one, and I showed that confidence, because if you don't believe in yourself, they won't either.
Well, it has led you to the doorstep of the Hall of Fame. You are a finalist. Congratulations. And right we are going to surprise another finalist from the Hall of Fame class of 2021. I don't know if you can hear the phone ringing. We're trying to see if he will pick up the phone.
He doesn't like us. He doesn't like us. I'm going to be really honest. There's a lot of, you know, between the two of us.
Hello, Chris Bosh.
Is that RJ?
I have been a little sneaky with your wife the past day or so, trying to arrange finding you at this time, because I wanted to tell you, you are a finalist for the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame Class 2021.
Hey.
Congratulations,
man.
Hold on, hold on.
You can't hear nothing.
Chris, you are a finalist for the Hall of Fame. How does that feel?
I can't hear anything.
See if your wife, Adrienne, can tell
I'm
you.
Sure, they'll come in.
It'll come in a little bit.
Oh.
Well, let me take this time to say this.
Chris, let us know when you can hear us.
When Chris can hear me go on this rant, the fact that Chris was not a first ballot Hall of Famer to me is one of the more randomly frustrating things, because I understand Tim Duncan, I understand all of the guys, Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett, that class, I understand that, and Chris had something unforeseen happen to him, but it doesn't change the fact of his numbers and what he accomplished, and in my opinion, I'm so glad he's here right now, but I also want to give some recognition for the fact that he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I love that. Chris,
yes,
I don't know if you can hear us. Can you hear us yet?
Yeah.
All right. I can hear you.
Absolutely.
Well, you just heard Richard say what we all have said for the past year. You should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. We understand all the circumstances, but this is so, so deserved. How does it feel to be a finalist for this year's class?
Words can't really describe. I didn't even know what was going on today. I was just kind of going about my regular day. And I'm actually speechless. This doesn't happen much, but I'm so appreciative. Everything that I've tried to give to the game of basketball and everything that basketball has done for me, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, my career, I still wanted to be playing to this day. But, you know, everything doesn't happen the way we want them to, but we have to make do with what we have. And I'm just so appreciative and so thankful just for the opportunity to play the game and all those who helped me get here.
It is amazing when you think back at your career, all the twists and turns, and then it could end here at the Hall of Fame. Now, Paul Pierce, you played a lot of very big games against Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
What was it like to play against Chris?
Hey, Chris, I'll tell you, I'll never forget that three you made in the corner in the conference finals. That's still that three. He know what I'm talking about, too, that clutch three he hit. I'll never forget that. So, hell of a player. You know, I've seen him from Toronto all the way to Miami. He's expanded his game. He's always been a great all-around player, played both ends of the court. And I never really thought he got his due on that team because he was one of the more clutch players for that ball club when you look back. And, rightfully deserved a Hall of Fame induction. I'm happy to be in that class with you also, too.
I pay attention to what the guys on the team say, right? And when you have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade saying, oh, we don't win anything without Chris Bosh.
Listen, he was injured in that series. He comes back to hits dagger threes versus us. I thought we were going back to the finals. I'm like, why does this guy have to come back now? Jeez, goodness gracious.
Chris,
hey, man, I was just trying to get one, Paul. You know what I'm saying? I was just trying to get one, dog.
But Rachel, to Paul's point, is like as much as you talk about D. Wade and you talk about LeBron James and what he did in Miami, people forget how much you carried that team and how much you were a focal point.
Amen.
And especially in Toronto, when you were a transition player from the Vince Carter era moving on, and then you just took that team on your back. You were an all-NBA player, and you led that team to multiple postseasons. So I know everyone talks about the Miami, but I played against you in the postseason in Toronto, and you were a force then. So I just want to make sure that those Toronto years get its due respect also.
Absolutely.
One of the things I loved, Chris, about covering you is your relationship with basketball. You know, you always had so many interests outside and off the court, but that never got in the way of your love of hooping, and especially when the game started to get taken away from you at first briefly and then for good. You talked a lot about what the game of basketball has meant to you in your life and your career. As you now look back and you are on the doorstep of the Hall of Fame, how much do you think about that?
I think about it every day. I pretty much have been reflecting on my career since I stopped playing. But, you know, really with that said, I remember all of the bus rides, you know, all of the OGs. When you're a young guy at the time, you always think that you're going to play forever, you know, or at least until 40 years old or something crazy like that. But I think back on those times, it's all about those great moments playing in front of the fans in Toronto and Miami and really all over the league, having those moments of truth and coming through, kind of like you guys said, just coming through in the clutch. That's all I ever wanted to do. I put my heart and soul into the game, and I still do. You know, it's just as a player, you want things to happen in a particular way, and I couldn't have written it any better, but it ended up being such a great career, and I'm so happy that I was able to squeeze in so many accomplishments so quick. I thought I had more time, but, you know, just remembering all the friends that I made, remembering the teamwork, the camaraderie, the communication, all of the, you know, putting in the work night in and night out, that's what it was always about. I just always wanted to come through. I wanted to be a great player. I wanted to be an exemplary role model on the court for the kids and for my peers. And I just always wanted to be a leader. You know, I always dreamt of playing basketball when I was a kid. A lot of people kind of like you were saying, Rachel, with hobbies and stuff. Mm-hmm. I had plenty of hobbies, but nothing was ever like basketball. I put everything into it. That's all I ever wanted to do since the moment I knew what it was. So to be just considered for such a great honor, I mean, it's amazing.
Well, we are so, so happy for you. Congratulations. Could not be more deserved. And please thank your lovely wife, Adrienne, who helped us concoct this little secret. Anyone who thinks this was staged, our technical problems at the beginning would show you it is not. It was so fun to surprise you today, Chris. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Congrats. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I'm going to send you guys a copy of my book, June 1st.
Oh, as long as it's autographed. As long as it's autographed.
Come on. Hey, for you, RJ, anything.
Yeah, that's my guy, CD. There we go.
Thank you so much, Chris. I want to get to some of our other first-time finalists for the Hoop Hall Class of 2021. In addition to Paul Pierce and Chris Bosh, former Kings coach Rick Adelman, five-time champion Michael Cooper, and Bill Russell, who is, of course, already in the Hall as a player.
He should have been in the Hall of Fame for coaching.
That's what I said.
He's back on the ballot as a head coach.
He should have been there.
So we are going to discuss that more in depth later in the show. Villanova coach Jay Wright, also a first-time finalist, along with seven-time WNBA All-Star Yolanda Griffith, three-time WNBA Most Valuable Player Lauren Jackson, and NCAA National Champion WNBA Coach of the Year Marianne Stanley. Congratulations to all of the first-time nominees. And now we've got some previous finalists who are included again this year for consideration. The all-time winningest high school coach, Lita Andrews. Congratulations on being a finalist. Five-time NBA All-Star Tim Hardaway Sr. I now got to add that in. Being a finalist. Consensus National College Player of the Year, Marquez Johnson. Four-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, Big Ben Wallace, and five-time NBA All-Star, Chris Webber. Shout-out C-Web. The class of 2021 will be unveiled on May 16th.
I'm trying to figure out what you got to do to get in the Hall of Fame. Four-time Defensive Player.
These guys are all, and you and Chris, are all finalists. They're going to narrow that class down.
Oh, man.
Right?
What else you got to do?
Don't ask me. Don't look over here at me. That's
look
impressive.
At our side of the table.
Aww. Look at the kids.
I love your kids. Come on. I want to see the whole family. Come on.
Oh, look at that. Woo! That's what it's about. Yeah.
Come on.
Your dad is a finalist for the Hall of Fame.
They don't care.
Amazing. That's the thing that's about awesome. All your kids, right? They don't care whatever you guys did. They just want to know, did you bring me cookies? I do want to take a deeper look at a few of the notable returning finalists on the ballot. You heard me just mention Tim Hardaway. Richard, let's make the case for Tim to make it to the Hoop Hall.
Well, look,
and we've got a comp there with someone who is already in the hall. That's how we're going to do this.
Well, yeah, and look, I understand that Tim Hardaway, like, he struggled with knee stuff later on in his career, but anybody that watched the game of basketball from the late 80s through the early 2000s, they understand his impact. His killer crossover was one of the signature moves in the NBA. You had the fadeaway, you had the killer crossover, you had the dream shake. He was so clutch, and if you're talking about clutch, Tim Hardaway is one of the most clutch players that we've had in our game.
This guy could play in any era.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he shot the ball, his strength, his ball handling, and like you said, that crossover, man.
Step two,
you can't tell me one kid in our era that didn't go practice that in the playground.
Didn't have it. I tried to do it, and I was just like, no, I got to go straight.
We had Tim on the show earlier, just a few months ago, and he was talking about how he invented that, which was so cool. We wish him the best of luck. Next up, Paul, I want you to make the case for why Chris Webber should be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't understand. I'm trying to figure out what you got to do now, because a guy who's a 20-10 guy, most of his whole career, he was a dominant force in the league. And at some point in his career, he was probably labeled the best power forward in the game. And we're talking about forwards in the game like Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Dirk Nowitzki, Sean Kemp.
You're showing his Michigan highlights. Understand, people, this is the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA. So if you look at what he accomplished with two Final Fours, the Fab Five is a transcendent term. You know the Fab Five because Chris Webber, because of Jalen Rose, because of all of those guys. So if you look at his basketball career, from high school, college, to the NBA, he's a Hall of Famer, without
a
doubt.
I totally agree. Wow.
All right, Richard, now I want you to make the case for Ben Wallace. Four.
I can't stand the Pistons, and that's all I'm going to say. I can't stand the Pistons. I say that as a compliment. Ben Wallace and the Detroit Pistons were one of the most annoying teams that you would ever have to play in any era. They were great defensively. They were disciplined offensively. They had clutch guys. And it was just their camaraderie and their five-on-five game was probably one or two. Them and the Spurs were the best five-on-five team that I've ever played against.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a historic defensive team anchored by Ben Wallace.
Yes.
I mean, they went a stretch, and I don't know if people noticed that. They held, I think, maybe 19 or 20 straight opponents under 80 points.
Yes.
That's unheard of. That defensive effort is unheard of, and the man who anchored it four times. A four-time defensive player of the year is not in yet? That's I don't know.
Ben, it's coming. The time is coming, Ben, man. It's well-deserved, too.
It's tough.
We will have much more reaction to the Hall of Fame class of 2021 finalists.
All the kids.
And a preview. Yay! They're the Bosch kids. Congratulations to Chris Bosch and his beautiful family.
They just want to get closer.
We will preview the class of 2020's enshrinement, which is coming up later in the show as well. Congratulations, Bosches! Coming up next, Paul Pierce is going to give us his reaction to the war of words between his old teammate, Antoine Walker, and James Harden. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols with 2021 Hall of Fame finalist Paul Pierce and Richard Jefferson.
There we go.
Lovely.
Perfect. That's not funny.
Lovely. I want to get some comments from a former teammate of Paul's that led to some backlash from James Harden. Three-time All-Star, NBA champ Antoine Walker said this on the All Things Covered podcast, quote, "I am not a James Harden guy, and it's not personal, but you can't win with that style. Anytime a guy takes 6, 7, 8 dribbles to get to where he has to go, that's a problem. It works today because it's more of a pick-and-roll league, so he gets away with a lot of things now. But I would not leverage my future for James Harden." End quote. Take a listen to Harden's response.
There's pick-and-rolls that happen in basketball. There's isolations that happen in basketball. And I do both, so I don't really understand what that means. I just, stuff like that I don't even pay attention to, especially somebody that has no credibility.
Oh.
Well, first of all, Antoine Walker does have credibility. I mean, you saw before, he's a three-time All-Star. This is my thing. What kind of credentials do you have to have as a former player to criticize a current player? I mean, or just not even criticize, but just state your opinion. I mean, you don't have to be an MVP. You don't have to have 5 or 6 rings. I mean, this is just your opinion. And I think Antoine's right about some of the things he said. That version of James Harden with the dribbles that he played in Houston could not win a championship. But this version that we're seeing now in New Jersey, in Brooklyn, This is the version of James Harden that can win a championship, because you don't see the isolations where he's dribbling the air out of the ball, he's moving the ball, he's finding his teammates, he's picking his spots on when he needs to score. But this version of Harden, I think, can win a championship. But the version that was in Houston, Antoine was right, I believe, because Antoine played that same style of basketball.
Yeah.
Trust me, I played with him.
And he knows.
And so, you know, but he definitely has credibility to what he's saying, and he's entitled to his opinion.
Yeah, he is. And I think everybody said what they were supposed to say. There were just two little remarks, right? Mm-hmm. One, excuse me, James Harden, the way he played. Excuse me.
Oh, you didn't know I could dunk like that? You didn't know I could dunk like that? Look.
You know, if you cough or sneeze in this studio, you're required to go quarantine for 2 weeks.
What's going on right there?
I'm dying.
Hey, man, what's going on?
That's it.
What is going on? No,
is this guy? You're killing me, though.
God, I'm like eyes watering.
You're killing me.
Okay, so back to what I was trying to say before I started sweating. You shouldn't take criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from. That's my biggest thing. And so, if he's not somebody that you would take advice from, then you just kind of move on from that. Because everyone's going to criticize James Harden. He's been criticized a million times.
You are actually crying and sweating right now.
Yes, I'm telling you. Like,
is this topic of conversation that upsetting for you?
It is bothering me so much.
What is going on?
Yes, once I started coughing. Is this TV still? Are we still on TV?
We are still on live national television.
Oh, that's great.
I'm enjoying this.
No, I do respect what Antoine said, and I played against Antoine in the postseason.
Please show Paul on TV.
Paul.
Thank you.
It's gone, Paul. You got Bane over here. He's all upset.
I will note for the viewers at home, we are further apart from each other than we look. We got a new desk today, which is pretty awesome, by the way. But it's curved now. We used to be straight. So we are still about 7 or 8 feet apart. And
I got my COVID test yesterday. We're fine.
Richard is having an actual physical breakdown. Coming up on the show, I can't even continue this conversation. You both said fine things. We'll leave it at that. We will reveal more finalists for the 2021 Hall of Fame class. Bill Russell already in as a player, but as the guys said, he also deserves to be in as a coach. He is a finalist in the coaching category. We will discuss that. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Kevin Pelton writes for ESPN Plus, the machine is back online. The double standard that is hindering black coaching candidates from getting hired in today's game. Really important piece. Please check that out during the break. We'll be back with more shortly. Are you going to live? As we revealed at the top of the show, here are the finalists for the Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2021, featuring the man to my left of left, Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, Ben Wallace, Tim Hardaway, Chris Webber, and many, many more. And we now welcome in ESPN senior writer Jackie McMullen, who received the Kurt Gowdy Award from the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2010. Excellent career in basketball writing and reporting. So, Jackie, are you able to tell us if you are or ever were a voter for the Hall of Fame? Are you allowed to acknowledge that the Hall of Fame exists? Can you take us inside the veil of secrecy at all?
The Hall of Fame does exist. It's in Springfield, Massachusetts. My involvement beyond that, I'd have to take all of your lives, and I like you all to for that. Mm. So that's all I can say.
Man.
It's very secretive.
Well, Jackie's been inside the inner workings, a Hall of Famer herself, and we wanted to have you on to talk about Bill Russell. He is, of course, already in as a player. He is now nominated and a finalist for his work as coach of the Celtics, Sonics, and Kings. Bill inducted as a player in 1975, and he could join Lenny Wilkins, Tommy Heinsohn, Bill Sharman, John Wooden, among inductees who are both a player and a coach. Jackie, what significance do you see of Russell being nominated as a coach, not just for his work as a coach, but what that means?
Well, you've hit on it, Rachel. So people will say, Bill Russell, he wasn't a coach that long. It was only eight seasons, three of it as a player coach for the Celtics. But here's what people have to remember. Bill Russell was the first African-American coach in NBA history. It happened in the 60s. Bill won his first championship as a player coach in 1968, less than a month after Martin Luther King was assassinated. You can't express enough the cultural importance of having that first black coach and have him win a championship in just his second year doing that, and by the way, as a player coach. So this isn't about longevity or his career winning percentage as an NBA coach. None of that matters. What matters is the standard he set and the example he set for all the players before him, and of course all the players that are playing now and the players that follow him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, two championships as a player and a coach, that's unheard of. I mean, he stepped right into, it wasn't because he was a black man, it's because he was capable of doing it. And he went on and showed everybody that he could be one of, not only a successful player, but a successful coach and managing his team and really setting the standard during those times. I'm shocked, actually, that he isn't already in as a coach. I mean, you win as a player coach. I mean, what coach can go out there and play today?
not a lot.
Well, there was a point where they pulled all the Raptors coaches for contact tracing, right? And everybody wanted Kyle Lowry to be the player coach, and even that didn't happen. So I don't know.
Yeah, no.
What coach, you can say, right, go ahead. I'm going to start tonight, y'all. I'm going to go out here and jump ball, and we're going to win it all.
Yeah, no,
we're going to win it all.
There's player coach, but there's five other coaches also. There's no, like, hey, you're out of the game. You missed the box out. Yeah, I got you. But no, I think this is right on time. To Paul's point where he says, why did this take so long? And Jackie, what you said about how he won the championship right after Martin Luther King was assassinated. And you have to understand that those were messages being sent to our community. Yep. When Martin Luther King was assassinated, you saw these things happen. These were messages that were sent to our community. So to have a message that an African-American man can not only just be a head coach, but also lead people from multiple different backgrounds to a championship, I think that was such a beautiful message, and the fact that the Celtics gave him the opportunity because it was earned and it was deserved, and he went out there and proved that African-American men could be championship-level coaches and did it multiple times. So I think this is long overdue, and they say give your roses while you are alive. Well, Bill Russell is walking around. Let's give the man his roses.
I think about that phrase, leader of men, right? That suits him to a T. Mm-hmm. Jackie, while we have you, looking at the other nominees, who jumped out to you about who was selected as a finalist?
I was really, really happy to see two names on that list in particular, Ben Wallace and Michael Cooper, two guys that I covered extensively. Their career averages, Michael Cooper averaged 8.9 points a game, never made an all-star team. Ben Wallace averaged 5.7 points a game. The reason I bring this up is they were both exceptional defensive players who led their teams to championship. In Michael Cooper's case, multiple championships. Larry Bird told me many times that Cooper was the toughest guy he ever had guard him. The reason Cooper wasn't an all-star? Simple. He played with Kareem,
right,
and Irving Magic Johnson, and James Worthy. That's why he was never an all-star. Both of these guys, in my opinion, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. It's a two-way game. Can I just say also, there's one name that I can't leave off. Paul, I am so thrilled for you.
Oh, thank you.
Literally. I watched it from the very beginning. I mean, I was there the first day, your first week of the NBA season when you were calling out Michael Olowokandi, Rachel Prince, and all the guys that got drafted ahead of you.
Yeah.
Right up to the day you cradled that trophy on the parquet floor in 2008. So obviously well deserved.
Thank
and
so
I'd be
much,
remiss
actually.
To not tell you. I feel like I've been on that journey with you, so I'm very pleased that
it was
that
a rough road, but we got there.
We didn't.
Just matters that you get through it. All right, the class of 2020, I want to remind everyone, still hasn't even officially been inducted, of course, because of the pandemic. But here's a quick reminder of who they are. And we got some names here, friends.
Yeah, do we got some
Kobe,
names here.
Kevin Garnett,
oof,
Tim Duncan, Tamika Catchings, Rudy Tomjanovich, Eddie Sutton, and more. Take a look.
With the fifth pick, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant.
Off to Kobe Bryant! Count it for two and a foul!
James drives, blocked by Duncan!
Tamika and I are old school. We get grinding.
Here's a block shot. It was blocked by Catchings. Man, what a finish by Tim Duncan.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Anything's possible.
Anything's possible!
Iconic, baby.
Iconic.
Take a look at these names. Paul, this is your era of basketball.
Oh,
teammates,
gosh.
Rivals. What does this Hall of Fame 2020 class mean to you?
I'm going to tell you this. It don't get no better than this.
Nope.
I mean, you talk about GOAT after GOAT after GOAT after GOAT. I mean, have you ever seen a class this brilliant? I mean, Tamika Catchings, she could probably still get buckets. I followed her
yeah,
in college. And we all know about Duncan and Kevin, Kobe. I mean, Kevin went, listen, we played the McDonald's game. And everybody was wondering, where's Kevin going to college? Everybody, okay. I was going to Kansas. Mulberry's going to Georgia Tech. And then Kevin was like, I'm going to the league. And I was like, you could do that?
Yeah, you can do that?
You can do that?
That's you look like
crazy.
That, you can.
No, that is not.
He just set the trend for
that. Yeah,
the
it's
next.
Like, you can do that? It's like, yeah, when you're 6'11" and you got bounce and you got all the skills. I think the Tamika Catchings, for me, you know, watching her, you know, play and watching how she dominated. And then I just had a conversation with Elena Deladon, and she was saying the hardest person that she ever had to play against was Tamika Catchings.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting here watching the greats today,
yep,
pay homage to the people that came before them. And so she said Tamika Catchings was the first person that made her have to go lift weights, have to go do extra work.
Huh.
And you're talking about a future MVP.
Yeah.
So Tamika Catchings, what she did in her career and the impact that she had is still being felt today. That's why it's like when you see Tamika and you hear the other players in the WNBA talk about her, you know that she belongs on that list right next to all of the other greats from the NBA.
Yeah, Tamika Catchings was money, and I wish her career had come a little later because you'd be hearing about her all the time as you do with today's stars. Just like the old NBA players, the old college women's players, there just wasn't enough attention paid to them, so people can't appreciate how stupendous they truly were. I think what's different about this class, Rachel, it's probably one of the smaller Hall of Fame classes you'll ever see. But to Paul's point, those three, probably the greatest class ever. And I think it was smart of the Hall, honestly, to keep it small for two reasons. One, to give those three guys, and of course, the tragic death of Kobe just, you know, highlights this even more so, to give those three guys their due, but also maybe, you know, the smaller class, so someone comes on the next year and get their due without being overshadowed by those three great Hall of Famers that we all, you know, have watched.
Well, it will be quite the enshrinement ceremony. That's coming up in May. And I got to tell you, I'm still so happy sitting here for Paul. We cannot wait.
I gotta get a ticket to that one.
We cannot wait until the actual Hall of Famers for next year are announced as well. Thank you so much, Jackie, for joining us and confirming that the Hall of Fame exists, which I really appreciate. At least we have that inside.
Well, that's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. Breaking news.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, everyone, Blazers center Yusuf Nurkic is joining The Jump. He's going to discuss his road to recovery, when he will be back on the court for the Blazers, and his quest to help those in need back in Bosnia. He's doing some really cool stuff. I am now delighted to welcome in Yusuf Nurkic, also known as the Bosnian Beast. Thank you so much for being here. And I got to just start with, how is the wrist? What is the latest update? Blazers fans are dying to know when you're coming back.
Wrist has been great, as you can see. I mean, pretty much almost there. It's kind of finishing up, so I need to just make sure I'm not doing shortcuts now because it's almost there. Expecting to, you know, be somewhere in the timeline after, you know, All-Star break, obviously. But, you know, if not right after All-Star, I think a week or two will be just fine.
Ooh, I love hearing that. That is great, great, great to hear that we could see you back on the court because you were missed. I will say you're making quite a statement with some of your outfits, Nurk. I mean, Blazers Twitter, very in love with the suits. We need to ask where you get them.
It's Alba from LA, the lady drawing them. Take care of me. Obviously, it's kind of, you ask what you get, right? We'll go crazy. It's COVID, so you got to play with a little bit. So some fans like it, some get mad a little bit, but that's okay, right?
Who doesn't love flavor? Come on. Flavor is good. We should be. There should be more Nurk suits. I want this even once you're back on the court. I'm just putting in my request.
I have a lot in closet, so I save best ones for when I get back. So
yeah, there we go. Now, of course, you're hardly the only Blazer who's been banged up this year. CJ McCollum was having an All-Star type season before he went down. Zach Collins hasn't played a minute yet, but you guys are still fifth in the West. We know what Damian Lillard has done to carry this team so far this season. But how good do you think you guys can be if you do get fully healthy by the playoffs?
I think, you know, it's like you said, it's crazy what happened back-to-back games, me and CJ, and the team been in a row without us pretty much. So I think what we was able to accomplish during our missed time, I think it's tremendous. You know, I think the team played great. A lot of people step up, and which we needed in those moments. And like you said, I think this year is more about getting healthier, and we have a time, which is great. It didn't happen like my, you know, obviously the injury before, right before playoffs. So we have a time to get back, to get healthier, and obviously have a time, as you know, my injury is wrist, so I have a time to get even in better shape and just work on things differently. So for me, I think we're going to be right there.
You have been volunteering both time and money in a ton of places. One that caught my eye was the Wildcat Ridge Sanctuary in Oregon. You also donated $10,000 to that cause. Nurk, the idea of you with all those big cats, lions, tigers, how did you get involved with that? And the visual is just amazing to me when I think about it.
I think it's great. I think we got to show the way, right? Obviously, with pandemic, I know it's all the people suffer, right? But then you have animals and sanctuaries who need the food, right? There's no, like, people coming in to see or donate. I think it was hard for them. So then we tried to help them with the food as much as they need during this time. But then you go back, you know, try to do other things, like you said. So especially back home, I really focus on it, so...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, I think once things do open up a little bit more, you're going to have to get one or two of those tigers to come visit the Blazers locker room, because I feel that would go very well.
I would give that to the Tyson. I ain't play with them. Like
that might be only a Mike Tyson thing. But you mentioned doing other things as well. And I do want to give you a chance to talk about it, because you run down the list of what you have done in your native country of Bosnia. It's so impressive. What is the thing, of all the stuff you've done, and there's so much, we're going to show some on the screen here, what has been particularly meaningful to you?
I think what I care the most about is the kids, right? When I was, you know, a kid, you know, from 94, born there, just, you know, the end of the world,
were it was just tough. No chance, no opportunities. So I think for me personally, I'll invest, my money and people around me time to figure out the best way we can support the kids growing up. So, try to feed, there's a lot of poor people in Bosnia who don't have one meal a day, which is insane. Like how much money countries get and governments, almost like I steal it them. So for me, as an individual, you can change, impact the people's lives, right? Back home, there's a thing like mammographs, and women need to wait more than 2 years to get a date. You just see mammograph machine, right? Which is insane. I feel like last 20 some years to wait 2+ years to just give a damn date, right?
No, it's terrible.
So we decided as my foundation to buy them, right, and donate them. We already have an agreement with the government in hometown to figure out the program for the women with the breast cancer, right, mm-hmm. awareness, to bring more awareness about it. So I think that's going to be huge.
So important, and the idea that you're getting involved in the Portland community, in the Bosnian community, they're all very lucky to have you. Now, before we let you go, I need to ask you about your dad, Nurk, and I need to get to the bottom of some of the NBA myth around you. So the story about you and how you ended up in basketball is that your dad was a police officer, 7 feet tall, 400 pounds. The story is that he fought off a group of 14 people by himself in the line of duty, that an agent read about him in the newspaper and decided any kid of his is going to be a good athlete, and that's what led to you being discovered. Is all of that true? Some of that true? If it's not true, I don't know if I want to know. Clear it up for me.
It is true. It is really true. He's just some big-ass cop who have no... It's almost like he have own laws, right? So I have a little brother. He's 13 years old. He's huge. His shoe size number is 16 right now.
What? Now?
Yes. So he big ass kid, lefty, and I told Rich he's gonna be top five in the draft. He will. By the time he came, the basketball I think will go a little bit back with all the big guys we're drafting. Luckily,
yeah.
And as far as that, he's just big dude, and obviously that was the story when it came out, and that's how I have a chance. The people hear about my dad, and then going forward, it just gave me a chance to play basketball. So, from 14 years old, first time practicing, then to now, is like insane to have that short period of time playing basketball and being NBA in 5 years. So it was a kind of crazy journey, but right now everything kind of settled down, so which is happy.
Well, I love that you're already giving us the scouting report on your younger brother, and we will expect him in the NBA soon as well. Nurk, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on all the really, really important work you're doing. Get healthy. Good luck to you in Portland the rest of the way.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
I want to get Paul and Richard's take on the biggest NBA transaction over the weekend, friends. The Brooklyn Nets officially signing 6-time All-Star Blake Griffin to a veteran's minimum. That's important because that means they still have money left.
Okay.
Contract on Monday. Blake averaged 12.5 and 4 in 20 games with the Pistons this season, but I don't know if you can even really look at
he
that.
He was sandbagging.
A different situation. The Nets enter the second half of the season only half a game behind the Sixers. Paul, with the Nets making moves, is there any pressure for the other East contenders in Philly, Milwaukee, Miami, Boston to make a move themselves? Trade deadline's 2.5 weeks away.
No, Blake didn't move the needle. The needle been moved when James Harden came over. So teams were like, how are they going to compete with the Nets? And now that you add Blake Griffin, mm-hmm. another high IQ player, he's not the Blake Griffin of old, but he does have experience and a guy with a very high IQ that can, when you get into tight situations, that this is going to make the right decisions. And so, guys, the East is scary, and the Nets should be in the finals. I mean, I just don't see no moves out there that anybody can make. There's only one player that can help any team in the East, say Philly, Celtics, or Milwaukee, Vucevic. Vucevic can help Boston, but outside
Vucevic
of that,
is out there, which I don't know whether the Magic are willing to trade him. But I'm asking.
They need to trade
helpful.
Him. You got an All-Star. You
Victor
need to start
Oladipo
all-star.
Will yeah. likely be on the market, as they say.
I cannot wait to
Questions
see the Nets
about
in the
Kyle
finals.
Lowry.
It's gonna be such.
Who you got? Nets versus Lakers.
I'm sitting here with two former Nets.
Yes. Yeah. Nets versus. Lakers.
I was a Net.
You remember that? I like to remind you, Figo, everyone here on the jump wants to wish our friend Matt Barnes a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Matt. Congratulations to all the Hall of Fame finalists.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.